Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus says, "All power is given unto me," and he sends us to go and make disciples of all nations. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then he now says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. So we said that a very important conversation to have right now is to understand that everybody here listening to me has been called a leader already, whether you like it or not, because he sends you to go and make disciples of all nations. We said the word make disciples is the word matheteo. It means somebody who is being taught. So matheteo is the art of making disciples. Mathetes is the disciple or the student. So Jesus sends us to go and make disciples. It means that there are processes that will be required for us to be able to make these disciples effectively. And the believer must not shy away from these. He must not shy away from these. Now, we started looking at five fingers of leadership because then I'm trying to relate leadership to discipleship, which is, you know, leadership. You know, in Jewish cultures, you know, at the age of 12, you were already enrolled into a rabbinical school. So at 12 years old, you're already found in the temple, you know, trying to understand what was written in the scrolls. And that's what we see Jesus exactly doing. He was under somebody or the religious teachers of the law, and he was asking questions and listening as well. So it's a Jewish concept. And so Jesus making reference to this to his disciples meant that they understood clearly the art of making disciples. We find also Paul, who was also a disciple of Gamaliel. He had studied under Gamaliel, one of the strictest sects of the Hebrews. So you can see that Paul was given to some form of discipleship. He was more like an academician, given to discipleship. And we said that in discipleship, you're going to see things, you're going to learn things by precepts and by example. So if Jesus tells us to make disciples, it means everyone is supposed to be making disciples. Everyone. You can say that my own is not to make disciples. How are you going to make disciples? Verse 20, teaching them. Teaching them. So everybody is going to have a responsibility to teach. What was the first finger of leadership? We spoke about the previous days. I gave you, can you remember? The ability to what? Okay, somebody has started with the ability to. So the ability first to inspire. That was the first one I gave you. The ability to inspire in discipleship. Now the second one was what? The ability to teach. Exactly. The ability to teach. And the ability to teach, I took time explaining to that. This particular teaching is very short, but it's very, very important for your discipleship. Okay? It's very important for your discipleship. So I've told them to make it available on the website. They're going to be sermons. Go and listen to them over and over and over and over and over and over again. Especially the ability to teach, the second one, part B, because I taught you how you are going to be a good teacher. Going to be a good teacher, how you're going to be able to be able to teach the word of God and how it starts. So I've given it to you. I want you to go and listen to it. Now, we're going to be looking at the third finger of leadership today. And so important. Because if you don't understand it, you're going to have a lot of problems with it. So we're looking at the third finger of leadership this evening. The ability to correct. The ability to correct. The ability to correct. The ability to correct. So in your leadership, to be a good leader, you're going to have to put on the ability to correct. And of course, when you correct, it means that there is a wrong in view. So there's something not in order. You correct it by putting it in order. There's something that is broken. You mend it together. There's a way things run. You make sure it runs the same and it does not become different from the norm. You know, oftentimes people are going to see correction as, you know, in our sect, say, he's all knowing. Or he's too known. Of course, not me. But if you work in an office and you see that there's something that not done right, and you say, can we gather together? Let's do it. You seem to know everything. But that's not right. A leader will have the ability to correct. One who speaks and people listen. And of course, when things are not done rightly, you must be able to speak such that it's done rightly. Sometimes there are going to be certain thinking patterns that you have to correct. You know, one time I was speaking to someone and then the person said something and I said, no, don't talk like that. It's wrong to talk like that. Don't say it like this. That is not how it's said. You know, I was speaking to a number of someone around me. And the person was complaining about a family member of mine. And I said, no. Don't say that. Don't talk like this. There are certain thinking patterns that the believer in discipleship, having the responsibility of disciple someone, should be able to correct. Certain ideologies that must be corrected. And of course, this all relates to the confines of God's word. Now, there are things that you have your own decisions to make. And that's only your decision. You're entitled to making those decisions. But then, when it comes to the word of God, if there's a thought pattern that is not correct with respect to what the word of God says, you should be able to correct. So in your discipleships, I want to change this. Don't see correction as wicked. You know, sometimes we can see correction as wicked. Oh, she's just wicked. I didn't bring my Bible, small Bible I didn't bring. She's already showing me sermon. She's giving me scripture. No, that's an ability to teach. It's proof of your leadership. To be able to see something that is not so and make it the way it ought to be. So to correct must be seen as a good thing. So there are certain ideologies that you must correct. There are certain behavioral patterns you must correct. See, don't say that if I do, they'll see me as too. No, if I do, they'll say, hey, he knows too much. Hey, if I say this, they'll say, no, that is not right. In your discipleship, remember, don't forget, see, I always point us that Jesus expects a pattern of whatever he has given to us as an assignment. He has a pattern. Remember, the temple had a pattern. You are responsible for raising someone the way God wants him to be raised. Not the way the person wants him to be raised. Not the way God wants him to be raised. I mean, the way you want him to be raised. Or the way you feel like, oh, let him feel free, you know. No. No. There's a pattern. There's an idea that God has of such an individual that he has committed to your hands as a disciple. So he says, teaching them to observe all things. Verse 20, not some things. So you cannot say that the disciple walks in love, but then the person is careless and loose with instructions that he's supposed to attend. So you take it like that. No, when you do that, you do not fulfill Jesus' instruction of teaching them all things. They are supposed to be taught all things, not some things. All things. You find a disciple that is sleeping in church. All things. What was Jesus' response when he saw someone sleeping? He complained in anger, coupled with disappointment. Could you not wait for me just 1 hour? You are already sleeping. So you can't wait for me just this 1 hour. I've just said, let me, 200 meters just away, and you are already sleeping. In fact, the very important reason why Matthias was chosen to replace Judas's place, because he was present in all meetings. It means it's an apostolic pattern that disciples should be present all the time. So when you have a disciple that is in a meeting today, is not in a meeting tomorrow, is in a meeting today, some meeting he's not there, some meeting he's not there, some meeting he's not there, is in a meeting today, then you now say, oh, if I talk about it, it will be like I'm becoming too insensitive. No, you are not training the person the way God wants you to train the person. So, in discipleship, is in all things. You're going to teach them to observe all things. Love is all things. Patience is all things. Evangelism is all things. Making disciples is all things. Interpreting the scriptures rightly is all things. Going on preaching engagements is all things. Prayer is all things. Fasting is all things. You can't say that I'll do some. When you do that, you leave out very important characteristics of the Christian faith, predisposing the individual to not be informed well. So correction, I'm trying to change your mind towards correction. When you see an attitude that is not right, do not say that, oh, it's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. And I came to tell someone, don't be offended as to how the person chooses to receive corrections. If the person is a real disciple, the person is going to follow in on the instructions that have been given. You do the correction. Don't be afraid of people seeing you as different because you stand for what is right. That is who a leader is. So you correct thinking patterns. And let me tell you something. In this correction, you are paying attention to the things that are of the Christian faith. And you are looking far beyond that which is, you know, of the activities of the Christian faith, like prayer, fasting, and the study of the word. You are looking into behaviors. See, you're looking into behaviors that are not, that is not right for the disciple to have, because that is all things. You're looking into certain attitudes and you're correcting, because the process of making is a consistent process of correcting, inspiring, teaching. It all comes together. Sometimes these behavioral patterns have tendencies to destroy the disciple. You know, one time I had to rebuke someone very sharply, almost telling that person, "You are a fool." And the person came to me happily. "Oh, Pastor, please, I want to tell you." I said, "What happened?" He said, "Oh, a guy just came, an older man. He drove his car close to me and he passed there. He blew his horn and he said, I should come inside. And Pastor, please, I went inside to hear what he has." I just almost lashed out. Said, "You are a fool. You entered into the car. Why should you do that? Is that what I taught you?" Now, that's a kind of correction. Now, there's also another correction that is gentle. You carry the person along. Two of them are necessary and are important. There were times Jesus called people fools. He called people hypocrites. He called them whitewashed. What do you call it? Walls. What is that? Yeah. There were times he looked at his disciples and he called one of them Satan. I mean, don't ever call someone that, but please, I'm just showing you something. Right? So the correction is going to come in harshly and is also going to come in gently. Now, hear this carefully. I don't want anybody to fall prey for it. Both of them are in love. Both of them are in love. Don't say that, "Oh, when he corrects me gently, it means he loves me." No, love is to correct. Love is to correct. The how must be now done via experience on the person doing the correction. So, you correct. Sometimes the correction is going to be calm, understanding. Other times it's going to tell you, "You didn't do it right. Now get to it and do it right." Both is in love. So, a leader is going to correct. You're going to correct. Right? Correct. When you see someone sleeping, you say, "No, it's not right to sleep in church. You have to wake up. Don't sleep. Okay? When you do that, you are not respecting God. When you do that, this no, don't, please don't sleep." Someone's chit-chatting. "No, please, we don't do that." Right? So you correct. You explain why it is not right. So, don't be afraid of receiving corrections and also correcting. So, you're going to be correcting thinking and behavioral patterns that are not consistent with the gospel. They are not consistent with the gospel. If you lashed out on your mother and you came to tell me, and I say, "No, that is not right. Don't ever do that again. When you do this, it means you're not walking in honor. It means you're not walking in what God wants you to walk in." That's correction. Then you go back and do what you have to do. So a leader is going to correct. Don't be afraid of receiving corrections. And also don't be afraid of giving out corrections. Because corrections, they make us better. Corrections make us better. Corrections make us better. Don't see a pattern of a behavior and you walk away from it as though you never saw it. Now, of course, you should know who you correct between, because this is within the context of discipleship. You know, within the context of people who are not in your discipleships, or within the context of people who are not directly under your discipleships, you will also know how to influence them positively. They are used differently, but we must know where it applies. So don't go around correcting people. At least with that one, you can inspire them yourself. Let your life be that example. But in discipleships, a key trait of leadership is that you're able to correct. Correct behavioral patterns. Correct thinking patterns. Correct these patterns that are not consistent with the Word of God. Let me show you a scripture, an interesting scripture. I want it to help you and motivate you. Genesis 18:19. Don't be afraid to correct. Don't be afraid to say that, no, don't do it like this. Do it like that. Don't do it like this. Okay? Is that okay? I hope next time you do it like this. Right? Don't be afraid to do that. Don't be afraid to correct. Don't be afraid to see something bending and then you correct. Right? So you don't correct. You don't allow things happen. For example, I think this is very prophetic. Very prophetic. So I'm going to show you something. A typical example of correction. Right? Just give me a few seconds. I'm going to give you a typical example of correction. It's prophetic. It's not intentional because it has never happened. But I'm going to show you a typical example of what? Of correction, right? Yes. So, I think it's just in line, right, with what I'm teaching, right? So, for example, I'm teaching here right now, and then a dear brother goes into the washroom, right? So I'm going to ask after the service, why did you go into the washroom while the Word of God was being taught? Your stomach, okay. Were you running diarrhea? Eh? Sorry? Were you running? Or what were you doing? You were running. Don't tell lies, oh. You were running. Okay. So you see that as a disciple, I'm trying to find out, why do you leave at such a crucial moment? The Word of God is being taught. Right? So let's say, for example, we said, oh, I went to urinate. Say, no. I'll advise that you urinate before the service. Right? So we don't find you walking around and distracting whatever it is that is happening in the service. So, you know, you can always urinate before the service, or you can use the toilet before the service. Then, even if it was an impromptu, you know, sometimes these things happen. You say, I hope this does not happen on the regular. You know, sometimes even the fecal matter is there, but it's that time where the Word of God is there that you remember that you are now going to use the toilet. The fecal is already there. You can store it till the service finishes and then you go and remove it. But then you just be there like you want somewhere to go, and then you just move into the toilet and then you are there. Then you now come out again and say, then when you come out, I mean, let's be serious. My JHS teacher always told me that urine comes with feces. It comes both of them. but intentionally you enter there. Instead of you should go and urinate too, you intentionally store the urine, then you only defecate. Then you come back again 15 minutes during the teaching. You say, "Pastor, I'm going to urinate." What kind of lifestyle is that? You are distorting the meeting. You are not helping the meeting in the place. And what happens is that you affect the concentration of others. Because when you do that, other people are going to now have to get in into the meeting again. So you say, no. Leaving during the word of God, at least even if it was prayer or something, but when the word of God is coming, you don't leave. I know some churches, when you go and sit there and the word of God is coming, you don't move. And anybody else that is coming in, you don't enter. Yes, you don't enter. The word of God is coming. If you come, that's all. You don't enter. You wait there till it's done. Then you now enter. Yes, it has happened to me. Yakal House before. We've seen it before. You go and then the moment the word of God starts coming, nobody. You can be who. They will not allow you to enter again. It's finished. Till the meeting is over. That's how we can place some reverence on what is happening. You leave the hall. You say, you go and stand in front of it. You are making a call. I mean, that's totally unserious. That's totally unserious. How was the person able to get you in the service? You leave the service center. Then you go outside. Then you give someone a high five. Like, then you chat a bit for a few seconds. Like, "Hey, Charlie, good." You don't do that. It's not done. It's not done. It's very wrong. It's very, very wrong. You don't do that. Because you put some premium on what is happening in that environment and in that space. That is teaching them all things. You're going to be taught all things. So, don't be afraid to correct. Are you listening? Don't be afraid. Don't feel like you are a bad person when you correct. Genesis chapter 16, but 18 verse 19 instead. Genesis 18 verse 19. Now, let's hold on with the comments. Let me show you something that will bless you. Listen to God's testament of Abraham. Okay, don't comment. So he says, "For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." What a testament, a testimony of Abraham. He said, this man Abraham, he is going to teach his children and he will bring his household after the Lord. They shall keep the way of the Lord. They shall do justice and judgment. Can it be said of you in your discipleships? In that environment where you find yourself, can this be said of you that, this person, I know him. He will command. The word command is to teach. He will instruct his household. Can it be said of your families? Can it be said of your homes? Can it be said of whatever God has committed to your hands in the church that you will command your household? And you're not just commanding. They are going to be keeping the way of the Lord in the way they ought to keep it. You know, sometimes as a disciple, you don't just care. A disciple does anything, doesn't matter to you. Talks anyhow, it doesn't matter to you. Dresses anyhow, you don't care. Yours is just that you are just there. You have been able to bring the person to church, so that's all. Afterwards, you give them glory fair to go back. That's all. No. He says, I know him. He'll command his children. He's not afraid of his children. Yes, he's not afraid of his children. I shouldn't be afraid of any one of you listening to me. Yeah, I shouldn't be afraid to say that. Do this, do that, do this. And if you have sense, you will not resist the corrections and the commands. That's only if you have sense. If you don't have sense, you will. So Abraham is going to command, correct, inspire his children. You see his children, you see them growing in the way of the Lord. See his disciples, they are growing in the way of the Lord. They talk well, they act well, they know how to carry themselves around well. They know how to show up on time. They are in the services, they are in there. The songs are there, their hands are lifted. Where it requires them to kneel, they are kneeling. Where it requires them to rejoice, they are rejoicing. Where it requires them to pray, they are praying. Where it requires them to go for evangelism, they are up on it. They are up on it. They are up on it. He will command. Yeah. One time I was talking to someone, I said, I told the person that, hey, like this girl. Yes, I told the person point blank, like this girl, like her. Yeah, I've told some people, this person, like the person, like her. Yes, choose her, choose this person. Choose her. Yes, because she listens, she would be responsive. She's open to learn. There's also some people out there, you know, pray about it for a while. Huh? Pray about it. So say, I'm the one that says you shouldn't. But I say, pray about it for a while. When you hear pray about it for a while, it means that thing you are going for something. And you are going for something interesting. So pray about it for a while. Don't pray before. So pastor, I've prayed about it 2 weeks. I said, no, go and pray again. Go and pray again. Do it again. Because we are not sure. We can't be sure about this person. We are not 200% sure. This person, like this person. Go for this person. Person will say, Pastor, please. I said, that's what I can say. Then I'll say, do you like? I said, oh, yeah. I said, that's it. Go for it. Yeah. Do you like? Yeah, I like. Go for it. Huh? They said, like, don't like. I won't say don't like because all of them are my children. I'm not saying don't like. You know, they say, pray about it. Say, I still like. Say, okay, like. And then this person, like this person. Say, do you like? Say, yes, I like. I said, like more. Like the more. It's a double like. Huh? You have to like the more. Huh? You are on the right path. Say, this person say, hey, are you sure? Say, yeah, I'm sure. Say, go and pray. 4 weeks. Come back to me. Tell me what you say. Pastor, I prayed another 2 months. Say, Pastor, I prayed another 2 months, another 4 months. Say, this person, we can't be sure. We can't be sure. Yeah. And me, I'll not give my choices, sons or daughters, to people who are just whatever. No. It's not going to happen. If you see me say that, like this person, it means that I mean it. Somebody that I've labored over, sweated on, prayed on, cried on, fasted on, then you now, a woman, you just come and do yourself what you want to take him away. It's not possible. So don't like this. Be careful. Go and pray about it. So, Pastor, you've told me to pray about it 2 months, another 3 months, another 4 months. Pastor, is there anything? I say, look at it well, though. Say, Pastor, the way you are saying look at it well, look at, I think I should revise my decision. I have not said anything, but I'm dragging the process and I'm not allowing further continuations. Yeah. So be careful, though. Be careful. But she's good, but be careful. You see, you are a pastor to all and a father to all. You see, but we can't labor over people and they. And take them away. To raise a son, and you now come and turn him against me. And the women, I know them. You see them walking around like this. Give them a couple of years. I'll send you somewhere and say, why are you sending my husband too much? Your face like that. Say, why are you sending my husband too much? Those kind of women, me, I don't give my choices, whatever, to them. I know you. You turn them against me. Yeah, you turn them. So why is he making you move around so much? Say, travel to Saboba. You say it's too hard a distance that he's inconsiderate. Hey, while I was raising them, where were you? Raising them, where were you? Now come say that you will not go. We won't give them to you. Yes, the same for my daughters. This person, no. I'll be looking quietly. This person, I want this lady on the, because this lady, if she goes to this person will listen. Yeah, this person will listen to me the more. This person, you think I don't pay attention? You think I'm a fool? I just enjoy yourself. No, it doesn't happen like that. I'll be saying, pray about it. Pray about it. 2 months, pray about it. 4 months, pray about it. Let's pray about it some more. Be slow. Don't go to be slow. Yeah. And tell me that the ministry is too difficult and we are making you people work too much. After you are married, but before you were not married, you were laughing, smiling all over. I'm looking at you, the two of you, men and women together, looking at you carefully. If you want to go and do whatever it is you want to, that one is not my problem. But I'm going to command, going to instruct. Yeah. Suffered over a daughter, taught her, did this. She was fervent. Now she can see, she can know, she can hear, she flows. I say, fly off to here. Do this for me. You said that she's supposed to not do that any longer. Hey, that all this while, but you saw her like that and you got married to her. You saw her like that and you came and took her away. You saw that she was fervent. You saw that she was serving before you now came and took her away. I said that it's too much to handle. I don't know how I got here, but I think it's very important. Huh? You saw her like that. You saw her serving in the ministry, but you still came and said it. You said you want her. Say, are you sure? You said you want her. You said this, you want her. Now you've now taken her away. I said that we shouldn't make her come to church. When you saw her, was she not going to church? When you saw her, was she not going to church? When she was not always going to church? Was she not always praying? Was she not always studying? Is that not what you saw and you came to pick her and you liked her for it? You know, come and say that you don't like the way she goes to church. And there are also some people that say, get married soon, next year, quick, do it quickly. Let's have more children because the children will stay in the church. You'll be there. Hey. Don't be. Let's be serious. We'll get more members. More members. The children will be in the church. They will not go anywhere. They are there. The children, hello, they'll be running around. It will not be a headache on my head to say that, you know, we are at Commonwealth. Let's get them Sunday school. Yeah, that's the headache we want to have. It's not your kind of reason. Back to our teaching. Sorry. I'm reminding back to our teaching. He shall command, instruct, correct, rebuke. So don't be afraid of corrections. They are going to help your disciples turn out so well. So a leader is going to correct. Don't overlook. I correct familiarity on the slightest side. Yes, I do that intentionally. Yes, because I will not overlook it. Because that is a very dangerous thing. Yeah. If I look at you and I say, you don't respect the way you used to respect, I will send you away. I'll just say, go far away. Because you are not supposed to be close. Go far away. I pay attention to that. And I pay attention to the way you listen to what I'm telling you to do and to do it the way I want you to do it. I look at all of those things. I see small ones. I say, this person is becoming a dangerous person. And most of the time, because of access, I allow you into my space. I give you all the time. I do this. I say, come, do that. Do this for me. Be here. I drive. I take you along. I do this. Say, go here with me. Be here. I even share funny stories with you. I share funny story. Oh, did you see? I saw this funny thing. And then now you are now using that as a means to become familiar. You'll be very far away. That's a fool. You don't give him access. It is all teaching. You teach the people to be what you want them to become. Yes. Yes. I saw someone some time back. I entered for a meeting somewhere and there were my disciples there. And I entered and nobody even noticed. And I said, from today, all of you, when I get inside and you don't notice me, it's the last time you call me a leader to you. Yes. It's the very last time. I don't want... Because dishonor is a very dangerous thing. It kills the power of God. Yeah. Kills the power of God. Yeah, it kills the power of God. It makes church dead and useless. A church where you don't know who is a leader. You don't know who leads you. Everybody just does whatever they want to do. Insult whoever it is they want to insult. Say whatever it is they want to say to who they don't care about anything. In this church, we suck. Yes, we say, if we realize that you are becoming something, we just say, hey, please, just pick your things. There's a church that comes 1 hour after us. I will mention the name of the church to you. There's a church that comes. That's why we have to close 2 o'clock exactly or 2:15 or two. So there's one, just wait 45 minutes. There's a church that comes after that. You can join that church. Yes. When I see familiarity, because it's all that, see, to you as a pastor. Yeah. Huh? To you as a pastor, I'm supposed to teach you. How can you be sitting with your pastor and you are on your phone? Saturday, I've been talking to you. Say, sorry, I got distracted. Distracted with what? Then why are you sitting there? Huh? Distracted with what? Why are you sitting there? Why are you there? Why are you sitting with me in that place? But you have whatever. So I was distracted. Distracted with what? I told someone some time back. So I told a person face to face some time back. I said, no, don't use your phone when you're around me. Put it aside. I'm with you. You should be focusing on me. I'm talking to you. You are on your phone. And I told you that that is in love. Are you listening? Everyone is in love. 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 Me, my pastor was praying for me 3 days ago. 3 days ago. And whenever he opens his mouth to pray for me, I kneel down. Where, it doesn't matter where I am. I was at Atomic. I was kneeling down just beside the fuel station. Yes. But why am I doing this? But you cannot be taught to do this. I was kneeling. I didn't care who was. I just knelt down. Right there, I found a spot that maybe was convenient. And I just went down. Because he was praying for me. Say, it's human worship. Human worship to my pastor. Oh, that's what you think. That's what you think. That's what you think. No, that's recognizing the grace of God over him, over me. That's all. That's all. So there are things to be taught. Why do you come to church? You don't have a notebook to write. Huh? You don't have a notebook. You sit down like you're looking at the sermon like that. Sir. You don't write anything. Huh? You don't write anything. You don't say anything. You don't do anything. You are just there. You don't take good notes. You don't do anything. And that's why we have a lot of loose Christians. That's why we don't see the power of God in our meetings any longer. Because we don't take things serious. We just joke with everything. Laugh about everything. Play about everything. You know, just despise everything. But from today, we have all changed. We're going to be leaders. Don't overlook, people of God. Don't overlook. That's how light overcomes darkness. Yes, it's when we can stand for what is right, inspire people in what is right, and lead them in the way they should go. You correct when you should. All right? Father, we thank you for everyone in this place. We're not going to see correction as wrong, wicked, you know, a tyrant that corrects. No. God trusts us. He trusts us with a ministry. He trusts us with lives. He trusts us to make those lives count. Right? He trusts us. Now, how you're going to correct is you're going to teach. So be patient. Are you listening? Be patient and teach. Be patient and explain why that is not supposed to be done. Why that is supposed to be done. Be patient and explain. You teach. You do this. You do that. You do this. You say, no, let's do it like this. Be patient and you teach. Right? Okay. So our time is up. And the third finger of leadership is the ability to correct. See, the ability to correct. Don't be afraid to correct. Don't be afraid to say, oh, that thing is not done rightly. Next time, do it like this, okay? Okay? Don't do it like this, okay? Don't do it like that. Is that okay? Next time when you do this, you do that, you do that, this one will help. Don't do it like this, okay? Correct. Don't be quiet. The more you become quiet, the more they spoil. And the more they spoil, the more you raise other people like them. So don't be afraid to correct. Don't be afraid to correct. Don't be afraid to receive corrections.